Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. You're invited to join us on air, asking your questions by calling in on the local rate phone numbers in the UK and the US, which can be found on ldnradio.org. Thank you for joining us. Today we're joined by Dr. Patrick Callas, who 2 days ago joined the SciMedica Health Group in Canada, and we wish him every success. The naturopathic doctors at SciMedica Health Group will treat you, not your diagnosis, and specialising in creating individualised treatment plans that deliver results regardless of your situation. If you're in the Greater Vancouver area of British Columbia, Canada, go to scimedicahealth.com, scimedicahealth.com, or call 604-541-8811. Okay, well, we have a question from Deb here for you. She said, I had a terrible time getting LDN a year ago, and it took her 4 tries to get used to it. Once she did, everything was fixed. Ehlers-Danlos joint pain, POTS dropped 45 pounds, and she got up to jogging 10 miles a day. She stopped taking it for breast reduction surgery. She said she's opioid-free. She had surgery last November. She's tried to get back on LDN, but had to give up after 2 weeks due to sheer bedridden misery. She says nausea, head pressure, pains. She only has 3 milligrams and 4.5 milligram capsules. What should I do? What is your advice?
Great question. And presumably, from what we understand, she was taking the same ones that she'd had before.
Yes.
Because I've seen this a few times recently too, where the additives or the suspending agents have been changed, and that's what people react to perhaps more strongly than the LDN itself, like adding lactose as a binder or filler. That doesn't sound like that would have been the case for her. Yeah, I'm not certain what the reaction would be. I mean, if she does want to take it again, I would start out at a lower dose, you know, whether it's 1.5 milligrams or even lower if she is reacting to that, and then build up even more gradually. And there's probably some variations on how LDN is dosed by different practitioners, but the most standard dosing I use, we start at 1.5 milligrams, and if that's well tolerated, then after a week we go up, double it for 2 weeks, and then triple it up to 4.5 milligrams in the end. However, if there's any strong reactions along the way, that if they're very strong, I'll back down to a lower dose, or if they maybe more moderate to weak, I will tend to maintain that dose for a little longer, because most people tend to have those resolve with a bit of time, but sounds like she's having a real horrible time at it now. I'm not sure what the change, what has changed as far as her body goes in reacting to it, though.
Some people do tend to need a very slow introduction and build up gradually, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and if she saw that benefit before and is interested in taking again, I think it would just be, I mean, two things is going back and starting at that lower dose and really building up again. Because if she started right at that higher dose, it's possible that her system is just, I mean, it certainly is not adapted to it, and is, for a non-medical way of putting it, freaking out a little bit, or highly sensitized to it. And it may be that for her system too, that not even getting up to the same dose may offer her some benefit and be tolerable for her. There's not the thing I really like about LDN is that it's not that we have to necessarily reach 4.5 milligrams. That's sort of what we understand right now is within that range, at least with cancer care, which I see most of. But you know, if someone is going to have a strong response and tolerate a lower dose, then that's great. We don't necessarily need to run up to what we consider the highest dose or the high dose. Not that it's particularly high, but
okay, we'll leave that one there. We have another question here from Rhonda. She says, can I still take LDN the night before a biopsy procedure, which requires lidocaine without any issues?
Great question. Lidocaine and low-dose naltrexone don't have any interaction. It's one of the really great things in general about low-dose naltrexone is it doesn't interact with many drugs. You know, very broadly speaking, it's really only the opiate drugs, which is part of its mechanism of action, so your morphine, codeine, and so on, that it blocks. And beyond that, at least from the reading and training I received, I really would feel comfortable prescribing it during most medical procedures or without any other medication, with the only exception being if someone were receiving transplant therapy or using an immunosuppressive therapy for, you know, kidney organ transplant or even maybe a severe flare-up or some really severe autoimmune condition, then that might be a time that you would want to avoid it because it could stimulate, work counter-purpose to what treatment at that time would be doing. But when it comes to doing a biopsy or other procedure where they're just using a bit of a topical anesthetic like lidocaine or xylocaine, that would be perfectly safe and fine. The only thing is if she was given, say, Tylenol 3s with codeine after to deal with pain after biopsy, then she may experience a little bit of reduced amount of pain relief from those. And if that were concerned, you know, just discontinue 48 hours before and then start back up after that was discontinued. But she didn't mention that, so she's good to go.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, we'll just have one more quick break. We'll be back in just a minute. Thank you. 2017 special offer from Chelsea Green Publishing. Free shipping for US non-bookstore retailers on orders of 25 books or more. For full details, email me, linda@ldnrt.org. The naturopathic doctors at SciMedica Health Group will treat you, not your diagnosis, and specialise in creating individualised treatment plans that deliver results regardless of your situation. If you're in the Greater Vancouver area of British Columbia, Canada, go to scimedicahealth.com, scimedicahealth.com, or call 604-541-8811. Next question we have is from Mariel. She says, I've been taking 4.5 milligrams of LDN for about a week now for Crohn's disease. The last few nights I've woken up with stomach cramps and pressure. I know I haven't been eating any foods to trigger this. Is it common when just starting LDN?
What was the dose she started on, Linda?
4.5.
Okay, that's a big dose to start right at. Yes, stomach cramps can be one of the side effects to LDN when starting out. Typically, the body will adjust and the symptoms will go away, although there is, you know, a small percent of cases where there are persistent symptoms that can occur, which, you know, can make it less desirable or even impossible to continue therapy, although it's a very, very small percent. The reason that, as I mentioned earlier, that I always start at a lower dose at 1.5 milligrams, and I even see some docs starting at 0.5 milligrams, is to allow the body to adapt and to reduce or even prevent those negative side effects like stomach cramping, sleep disturbance, dry mouth, which I see most commonly. So I would suggest to her that although she may adapt to that in the sense that the stomach cramping could go away in a few days, it would be advisable for her to go to a lower dose for a few weeks and then build up to the 4.5 milligrams. That's like the best way to allow the body to adapt and reduce some of that cramping. The reason cramping occurs very basically is because the drug is having an action on the walls of the digestive tract, and as part of that adjustment and reaction locally at first, the stomach can respond by causing some cramping or discomfort. It's kind of an interesting aside too. It's LDN can be used as a motility agent, so it can restore normal movement in an upset or disturbed digestive tract, which is one of the actual added benefits to it for someone who has a long-standing irritation, infection, or all sort of colitis or Crohn's disease in their digestive tract. But to stimulate that return or reminder of normal movement right away can be exhausting or cause cramping or discomfort.
Mm. And as you were getting me to repeat the dose, 4.5, I don't know of any doctors myself that start on such a high dose. It's usually working up to 4.5. It's unusual to start on that dose.
Yeah, and I strongly recommend she either go back to her doctor and, you know, ask about ramping up the dose or pursue a doctor who would support that, because it's a bit strong, and I'd say that's likely the cause. From working with Dr. McKinney, who, like I said, he's had over, I think, 10,000 patients on LDN, he would say that, from what he's seen, less than 10% show any adverse effects or side effects at all using ramping up starting at 1.5 or a lower dose and building up. And even of those 10% that have some of them, they're usually very mild and transient symptoms. So I would suggest she either get a prescription for 1.5 milligram and build up, or it's probably the easiest way, because they're probably capsules. You could divide the caps. I would say the easiest way is to get a prescription for that lower dose and build up over 3-4 weeks.
And we have a question from Deborah, and she says, have you treated mixed connective tissue disease with LDN with success?
I'm not familiar with the term mixed connective tissue disease, so no, I can't comment on that. Oh, thanks for the question, Deborah.
Okay, and she's got another question which is similar. And have you treated MCTD? She doesn't tell me what that means. She's just given the initials, and small fiber neuropathy.
And neuropathy as well.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know I don't have any experience with that specific diagnosis. Maybe if it goes by a different name, I could offer more insight, but I'm not sure what that would be.
Well, the mixed connective tissue disease, I have actually interviewed two people, I think, who have used that with great success. So if you go to the LDN Research Trust Vimeo channel and type in mixed connective tissue disease or disorder, I think it might be. But if you just put in mixed connective tissue and do the search, that will come up for you there. So you'll be able to listen to what other people have to say. One question. Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, I'm going to put that resource then.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. A question that keeps coming up as well. How do you determine the appropriate dose for a patient? Do you go by male, female, height, weight, or just treat everybody the same?
That's a great question. Uh-oh. It depends on the context in which I'm treating them, but, I mean, for the most part, I use a standard, at this point in my career, I use a standard approach where I start at 1.5 milligrams. If it's well tolerated, then I build up in a pretty similar way. And I tend to stop at 4.5 milligrams in cancer care. If it's an autoimmune disease, I would consider going up to into the 6 milligram range based on what some of the other doctors are doing, just to see if there is response in that range. But it's really a case-by-case basis in which I treat someone. I don't, with LDN, I don't really look at gender or weight at this point, but certainly if research bears out that that's a great idea, then I would. I mean, that's where I laughed about it, because it's sort of a, she seemed to be more naturopathic as well as just more evidence-based approach to look at body weight. It's one of those funny things about a lot of medications where we just sort of give standard doses but don't actually fully evaluate the difference between treating a 120-pound woman or 150-pound man and a 250-pound man or woman, when clearly that's going to make a big difference.
I would say, though, we have done surveys and I've spoken to hundreds and hundreds of LDN users, and it would seem to me as though men are the people, you know, 6'3" rugby players, you know, really big beefy men, a lot of them can't go above 3 milligrams. They don't feel as good over 3, where you can get a lady who weighs
opposite what you'd expect,
like 140 pounds, she's 5 foot tall, very petite, and she can take 4.5, no problem.
So interesting.
So in my opinion, which isn't medical at all, but just by talking to people, it would seem as though it is individual, and it probably doesn't have anything to do with hormones or weight or height. It's just what dose suits you best.
Individual physiological response. Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, probably even the more nuanced way of dosing it and other drugs in general, if we can globalize a little bit, is not just looking at, like you say, body weight, although for some drugs it does matter, or at least is a factor, but it is those individual pieces, and we're just starting to really realize what that equates to, and sort of this nebulous, how you respond, you know, looking at specific ways that people's liver work, certain genetic pathways and markers, what we call the epigenome, in each individual, how those express are probably the, you know, those underpinning facts we're just really starting to uncover and understand as to how someone might, you know, if you take a 250-pound man and a 120-pound woman and the 250-pound on the linebacker, he plays football now, and he can't stand more than 3 milligrams LDN versus a 120-pound woman does just fine with 6 milligrams, for say. It's likely those ways that, you know, the liver and the body deals with the drug, metabolizes it, and eliminates it, that, you know, we're just starting to really, you know, sort of the cutting edge of understanding how we're dealing with it, or how we're understanding how that works and how that how our body can deal with drugs and metabolizing and using them.
Mm-hmm. So diet obviously is important to our health, to get that correct and not to be eating foods that we probably shouldn't be eating for ourselves, being individual, getting the individual dose of the LDN, sorting out vitamin D, other health supplements, etc., etc., then hopefully we will be feeling a lot better. And the other question that has been sent in is about skin, eczema and dermatitis. Mm. Have you treated any of those skin conditions with LDN?
Not directly. I'm just going to just give me a second here. I'm thinking of anyone even as a secondary concern had, even, I don't, but I've had a few psoriasis cases, but I don't think any, none of them have taken, I haven't recommended low-dose naltrexone to any of them.
Just while you're looking at psoriasis, I've interviewed some really interesting people who have had good results with psoriasis, but it does seem to take longer, about 6 months, before they actually notice.
That's really important to know. I had one patient whose psoriasis turned to psoriatic arthritis, so like severe inflammatory arthritic symptoms, and I had recommended it, but they declined despite multiple recommendations from me. So I can't say, but it makes perfect sense, and I certainly do standardly recommend it as a course of treatment now and with psoriasis. But I haven't seen that many cases lately. Mm-hmm. I can't specifically comment. I mean, I am of a firm belief that I could go on and on about how skin is directly related to both digestive or gut health as well as detoxification health. So the ability of our, elimination organs like the liver and kidneys to eliminate. And certainly when the gut's involved in low-dose naltrexone is going to be a benefit for most people. If they, take the appropriate dose and or tolerate it really well. Mm-hmm. I do think it's a reasonable thing. In my perspective, more important things to deal with first, such as diet, making sure the microbiome with all the good bacteria, good or neutral bacteria in the gut is happy, healthy, and in balance. And also some really great natural remedies for dealing with or helping support to both gut health as well as skin health in the mix there too.
And before we started the show, we were talking about seeing you teach chiropractic method. What's it called? What do you call it?
Chiropractic care. I think technically under a profession we call it spinal adjustments, but mobilization and joint health.
Well, I found that really good before I was diagnosed. What patients benefit best, or would everybody benefit by being realigned?
Well, if I was a chiropractor, I would tell you absolutely yes. Everyone should be kept, as my chiropractor says, you keep your spine in line and you'll be fine. But to answer your question, it's part of the naturopathic scope of practice because it is so important. I mean, the spine is a superhighway of all the nerves, all the communication system that comes out and allows us to move and fire our muscles, to have all our organs operate so that our stomach can digest food, so that our intestines can move and squeeze food from start to finish. And everything is based on those nervous responses. And think of it this way. They need to flow like, a major highway. And there's major highways and small roads, and they all need to flow steadily, and if they get congested or blocked off, that's a problem. It's going to cause difficulty in anywhere from the muscles to the digestive organs to mental function. So I do think as part of preventative as well as acute treatment of any health condition that your spine should be assessed by a professional and treated where appropriate. And I say that from a perspective of I don't think every person should have all their joints popped and cavitated, but, certainly if they're out of alignment or there's compression occurring, it's going to be a huge benefit. And not just, if I'm in pain, I've hurt my back, but as a form of prevention or maintenance, because we all walk around, we're all upright, and I always like to joke that we're not the final model of upright walking apes yet. We still have lots of compression difficulties with our back, and we need some maintenance, just like your car or your teeth. if you're going to see the dentist or, you get your car tuned up regularly, it's better to do that. And sometimes we don't even know because what problems are going on until it's way down the road. So I do think it's useful. Some people are they're turned off by the cracking and popping. They think that they're, on one hand, they feel like their bones are being cracked or crunched. Let me just let everyone know who that's their fear. That's not the case. And what happens is when a joint has been compressed and you open it up or allow it to move normally again, a bunch of nitrogen gas rushes in and it bounces against the wall of the vertebral disc. So the spongy cushion is there. And when it bounces it's like a drum being a bunch of little gas bubbles pounding against the wall of a drum, and it creates a cracking or crunching noise.
But I have to say, it doesn't hurt at all, though. It is noisy, but it doesn't hurt, does it?
No, it shouldn't. If it's done well, it shouldn't be painful. I like to give you, should be aware, and any good chiropractor or naturopathic doctor or any doctor who does adjustments should tell you beforehand, and will tell you beforehand, that when you do what we call cavitate or mobilize a joint, one, it can cause a loud cracking noise, especially if it's in your neck. It can sound like a thunderclap, which can be very startling if you haven't been forewarned. But that's normal. It doesn't always make that noise, and if it doesn't crack or pop, that doesn't mean that they haven't done their job. It's just not. It sometimes occurs, sometimes it doesn't. But there can be some local tenderness, and it's not from the adjustment, typically, or that movement or that sound isn't really related. But because if an area has been clenched down, all the muscles in the area tend to be they know something's wrong or off, and so they're sitting there for maybe days, maybe weeks or months, fighting and pulling and tensing and crunching, trying to hold that joint back into alignment. And so they're fatigued. And so when you actually release some of that burden, the muscles can feel quite tired or sore or even almost bruised for a few days. And that's actually normal. And it's not because the person, you know, has rough handled you, but it's part of the therapeutic response. But certainly, as you said, a lot of good, especially very regular or well-done adjustments shouldn't be, there should be no discomfort whatsoever with them.
Are many people, do you know the percentages of people that are walking around thinking there's nothing wrong with them, where they're actually not in alignment? You know, maybe one leg is slightly longer than the other, you know, the hips are out of sync.
They're walking in circles. A lot. You know, I do agree with the chiropractors, as much as the cynic might say, oh, they're just trying to drum up business for themselves. But we're all exposed to trauma. I mean, just walking around as lifting boxes. I just moved to houses, and my goodness, I couldn't wait to get my back adjusted, because just lifting all those books I own tends to throw a few things out. And you know, as any good chiropractor would tell you, that we're exposed to all sorts of traumas to our spine right from birth. You know, if you had doctor used forceps, or you weren't coming out super easy and head first without any twisting, turning, which is very few of us when we're born, there can be some trauma. That seems like such a heavy word, but there can be some misalignment of the spine that occurs right from early on. And then you think of all the times you fall and you've hit your head, you've fallen off your bike, you've fallen over, you've run into things, or been in car accidents for a lot of people as they get into adulthood. Those are all events where the spine has likely been put out of alignment. And you're right, we don't often know. Our body, in its wisdom, it does its best to adapt. And usually we only really feel symptoms when the problem has been going on for a long time or significant enough for us to notice. So much so that our body is always trying to keep us upright, our head upright, and it will do all sorts of horrible things to the spine below just to maintain even the eye level. And so usually not until things become very critical or someone points it out do we notice that things are out. So if someone's never been and they're experiencing, really any back pain, headaches, neck aches, even any digestive problems, muscular weakness, certainly put it on your radar to go get your spine checked out and realigned. It can, for some people, it can be life-changing.
I'm going to have to stop you there and say thank you very, very much. Our time is up.
You're welcome.
It was amazing, and good luck with your new position in your job, and we'll look forward to speaking to you again.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on, Linda. I appreciate it.
Thank you. The naturopathic doctors at SciMedica Health Group will treat you, not your diagnosis, and specialising in creating individualised treatment plans that deliver results regardless of your situation. If you're in the Greater Vancouver area of British Columbia, Canada, go to scimedicahealth.com, scimedicahealth.com, or call 604-541-8811. any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.